I know some of y'all have heard me talk about my daughter here, Sharon. This lovely girl here, when I met her a few years ago, somebody brought Sharon to a healing school, and she couldn't even drive her own car. She had brain tumors and back problems, and I don't know what. I called Sharon my basket case. She had so many things wrong with her. Is that right, Sharon? That's a fact. She had so many things wrong with her. And, of course, when she came up for prayer after hearing 4 hours of teaching, she came up and said, "Pastor, I want you to know I'm a member of a big church here in the Metroplex, and I've never heard the Word of God taught like this in my whole life. But," she says, "I want you to know that I've been prayed for over 100 times with no results." I said, "Well, first of all, Sharon, let me ask you a question. Did you repent of the sins that brought this on?" "Sins? No." I said, "Well, that's a problem. That's why you're not getting anything from God. You have to repent for your sin first. He demands it." I said, "Then number two, what scripture did you use to base your faith on?" She said, "What? We didn't use a scripture." I said, "Well, God says in Jeremiah 1:12, He watches over His word and He's ready to perform His word. He's not watching over mine and your words. He's watching over His word." So I said, "You got to have a scripture or a promise from God to stand on to base your faith on." I said, "Then nobody's ever prayed for you in faith." So I said, "You repent of your sin," which she did. I said, "Now let's find a scripture." She found one. I said, "Now I'm going to pray for you in faith. I'm going to guarantee the King of the universe is going to heal you." And He did, and the rest is history. Sharon, then for years, Sharon had everything healed. I didn't know she had a problem with her knees until, 6 months ago? Sharon was sitting there one day thinking about how wonderful God is, how He's healed her of everything. And then all of a sudden she realized she still has a problem with her knees, and she thought, "Lord, duh, what is the deal here? I don't have to have this. You bore my sickness, removed my disease on the cross 2,000 years ago. So, Lord, I want to thank You that I repent for my sins of unbelief. Now I'm asking You to heal my knees." And the Lord healed her knees. Now she ain't got nothing wrong with her. Isn't He awesome? Yeah, praise the Lord. See, God has already done it for us, has He not, brother? And your lovely wife, she's going to get healed today, too, when we pray for her. Guarantee. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, Jesus wants to heal us. All we got to do is repent of sin and believe. And, of course, the biggest sin you can have is unbelief. Your unbelief of these wonderful promises of God. It's just so amazing. The promises are there. Are they not, young lady? I mean, so many promises. And unbelief is a killer, isn't it, sir? It done it to me for many a year. We want to get everybody healed today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We don't want nobody to go away not being healed. We'll go back to where we were there in 1 Corinthians 10. "So He gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease upon them." That's Psalm 106, verse 15 in the NIV. Now, that's exactly the one that Ed was reading that night when he read that. "So He gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease." Because when Ed asked me, he says, "What brought this wasting disease upon me?" That's exactly the translation he was reading when God revealed it to him that he had not put God first. When Ed had this terrible disease, it's so sad that here you are, a 42-year-old man with terminal cancer. And that's not what a 42-year-old man wants to hear. And most of us don't realize that even as church members, if we don't put God first, if we don't produce fruit for the kingdom of God, God will afflict you with sickness and disease. There's just a very few ministries today that I'm familiar with that teach it like it's written. But I teach it like it's written. You know, if God said it, I believe I'm on safe ground. So He said He gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease upon them. If God sends a wasting disease upon you to destroy you or to cut you off because you have not served Him, let me ask you this question, just out of the wild blue. What do you consider producing fruit for the kingdom of God? What do you determine, or what do you call producing fruit for the kingdom? Leading people to Christ, that's producing fruit, right? Would you say that if you were a little woman, if you baked a cake and took it to the next door neighbor and they were sick and you told them that was in the name of Jesus, would that be producing fruit for the kingdom? Yes, it would be. In other words, we can do many things to produce fruit for the kingdom of God, right? But we need to be doing something to produce fruit, right? Just like Paul said, one of us does this and one of us does that, but God gives the increase. So some people think, well, if I'm not actually being the one that leads them in, but if it hadn't been for somebody else telling them down the road, you would have never been able to harvest that. As long as you're talking to people about the kingdom, you're producing fruit for the kingdom. I know some Christians don't ever talk about Jesus. I mean, they don't even talk about him at all. You know, they'd hardly ever go to church, you know, just once in a great while. And then they wonder why they get sick, or they wonder why they die. Well, I had an experience like this with a man, and I'm going to take you to that scripture right quick, then we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 10, but I want to go to the scripture in John 15:2, and I want you to see in John 15:2 what this says. And I read this a lot of years, and I didn't realize it meant exactly what it said. When I learned the principle of this and began to ask others, even doctors of theology, nobody believed what this says. In John 15:2, it says, "He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more fruit." So if you're a child of God, let's put it that like that, you're going to get cut either way. Is that right? If you're producing fruit for the kingdom, he's going to prune you. Is that what he said? He's going to prune you so you will be more productive. In other words, if you have roses, and some of you have raised roses. I haven't raised much, but a little. But if ever January or February, if I didn't come in and cut those roses back, I didn't have a very good rose crop that year. If I just left the old bushes that were there from last year, they would have a few little roses on them, but nothing like they would have if I went back and cut them all back, right? So when you cut them all back, they will grow out new branches, and they grow out new flowers, and you have tons of flowers, right? See, that's what the Lord's trying to tell us there. He trims us. He cuts us, and it's painful when he cuts us, isn't it? We don't like to be cut, but it's painful when he does it. But if he does not prune you and you become more fruitful, then what's he going to do to you? What did he say that if you produce no fruit, what's he going to do to you? He's going to cut you off. Is that what you said? That's what he's doing. That's exactly what he's going to do. Now then, here's the beautiful part about God. He won't do that the first year or the second year or the third year. He's much more merciful than that. He may give you 15, 20, 30 years. And then if you don't produce fruit, I mean, I've come to realize this is probably the biggest killer among men in the church of any one thing. They do not produce fruit for the kingdom of God. They don't put him first. He's a jealous God. And when a man, when I see a man, especially I see this all the time with men and women, you know, the wife, she comes to church, and I say, "Where's your husband?" "Oh, well, he's out fishing today," or, you know, "he's boating," or, you know, "he's out flying his airplane," or "he's doing something," but, you know, or he's got to watch the football game this afternoon. And in fact, I've had some women say, I say, "Football game?" They say, "Yeah, if I died during football season, he would never know I was dead until after football season was over." That's kind of sad, isn't it? But some men are so eat up with some things like that. That's where they are. But God will be merciful to you for years, maybe 10 or 15 or 20 years. But then if you don't produce fruit, and he'll do everything he can to get you to produce fruit, and if you don't start going to church and start serving him and loving him, I mean, I've seen many men that their wives were great Christians, come to church every Sunday, bring the children, do everything, but daddy, he's always out on the lake, or he's fishing, or he's footballing, or he's doing something. But he might come to church once or twice or three times a year, but he's not got time for God. And then when he gets 50 years old, he dies. He comes down with some kind of serious disease, and almost nobody ever realizes that you have to get rid of the man's sin. And if the sin's not taken care of, if he doesn't come to God and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm sorry that I have not produced fruit for the kingdom, and I promise you I will produce fruit for your kingdom," then and only then will God hear that prayer. He will forgive that person. He will heal that person, and then they will produce fruit. But let me tell you, if you make God a promise like that and he heals you, you better keep your promise. Because he ain't going to put up with that for 10 more years. If you don't get out there after you get healed and start doing what he says, I guarantee I've seen them within a year that they didn't do, and they die. I've seen it. I mean, God's God, you know, and he's the boss. And if you want to live a long, healthy life, you have to do it his way. It's just amazing that if we do it God's way. And that this is why that the healing ministry, there was a man called me here a while back, and he works for a big ministry here in town, or in the Metroplex. Somebody had given him one of my CDs, and this man had gotten miraculously healed himself a few years before, and so he knew the healing power of Jesus. But he said he knew William Brennan personally, and he said William Brennan told him that one day God came to him and told him, said, that person you're fixing to pray for is going to be the last one I'm going to heal. He said, whenever you pray for that one, I'm going to miraculously heal that person, but from this day forth, the healing ministries that I've called forth, like A.A. Allen, Smith Wigglesworth, he died in 1947, so he was a little earlier. Oral Roberts, there was a whole bunch of the ministries in the 50s. Y'all remember 40s, 50s, and 60s? Yeah, T.L. Osborne. He said, the Lord said, he told Brennan, he said, when I heal that person, that's going to be the last one. I'm going to close down the healing ministry, and I'm no longer going to do this because my people do not understand. I want them to walk holy. I'm not going to heal them so they can continue to live in sin. And he was tired of it. And so the healing ministry almost fell completely apart, didn't it? You hardly ever hear of it anymore. It's just almost non-existent. And then somewhere along the line, God began to raise up a few men. And I was one of those that he said, I want you to go out and teach my people that I expect them to live holy. I expect them to walk in perfection before me. I want you to tell them that they're sick because of sin. That when they get rid of that sin, you pray for them, then I will heal them. How many of y'all have heard the story about little Jenna out there? That little mother and daddy, they called me and wanted their baby healed. And I prayed, we all of us here at the Ministry Center prayed for that child for a year and a half with no results. Finally, one day, I told them, I said, there's a sin, you've got to find it. And they prayed, and the Lord finally revealed to her that it was lying and deception. And she had lied to her husband and deceived him to have that baby. Her husband didn't want another child, but she lied to him, and they had the child, and then the child was born with a curse. And the child was sick and afflicted, and now then she was 8 years old by this time. And whenever we found the sin was the mother, because the scripture clearly says that the sins of the parents will be visited to the children to the fourth generation, unless it's sexual immorality, then it will be passed to the child for 10 generations.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled The Power Behind Us is Awesome, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.